Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
This is the ZABEcast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. Start of the week, it is Championship Monday, and the gates to Augusta National have been thrown open at 6 a.m. Give or take, I'm not sure exactly when they open them. I know this, if I was in the field, I would be there. Knock, knock, open up. I want to hit some range balls. Welcome to the ZABEcast on a Monday. Andy Pollin is here. Hello, my friend. How was your weekend?
It was very nice, very restful. Weather was great. Watched a lot of hoops and had a Seder with the family. All good.
Nice. Now, what is a Seder? How do you spell that? What happens at a Seder? Knowing your people, I believe eating is part of the whole festivity.
Yes, my people like to eat.
Your people love to eat. Go on, eat something. You look terrible. You look famished.
There's some tie-in with the Last Supper. Don't tell me, don't make me explain.
Don't make you quote religious scripture because you're not up to speed on that. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have the resources to scout that, but it commemorates the leaving of Egypt as slaves, and we didn't have time for the bread to leaven, to rise.
Ah.
So we eat black matzah, and it's a lot of tradition and a lot of, you know, telling of the stories of the history of the people. And it was earlier in the week, but it's always at my sister's house because she makes incredible matzo ball soup and she just knows how to host the whole thing. So we had it on Saturday night instead of when it should have been scheduled Wednesday. But very nice time. We had about 20 people there. It was really nice.
Well, good. Good. At church this morning, our pastor's sermon involved talking about the Shroud of Turin. You're aware of the Shroud of Turin?
I am.
Purported to be the actual shroud that Jesus Christ was laid to rest in. And since that time, they've done some carbon dating on the shroud. And the scientists involved claim, nah, this is from about 1400 BC, not BC, 1400 AD. And it was a forgery. And our wonderful pastor, our shepherd of our flock, was explaining all the ways in which, hold on a second, they may not be correct about this. And it was detail after detail. But one of the details, or multiple details, was just how horrible crucifixion was. And whether or not you believe Jesus is real, crucifixion was real by the Roman army back in the day. Fucking insane.
Yeah, well, it's why a lot of things don't happen anymore.
I have
an episode of Pawn Stars when somebody brings in an item and they think it's real, and then they have to call in the expert. And he goes, nah, you see the handwriting here? It's not exactly the way it's supposed to line up.
I could probably watch a lot of History Channel documentaries on the Shroud of Turin to kind of get into it and all. All I know is this. Why would a guy forge something in 1500? Like, what's the end game on this? And what are the chances that he nails it in so many ways? Pardon the pun, nails it.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's an inappropriate pun.
I know. But like, I'm just like, okay, maybe he could have forged it, but why exactly? How exactly?
Yeah.
I know this, the more in detail our preacher was getting into you know, how you die when you're crucified. I'm like, I appreciate the historical accuracy, but I don't want to think about this on a Sunday.
I imagine infection was the number one killer when you go through that kind of a procedure.
That takes too long. I mean, they want to kill you slow. Apparently, it's asphyxiation. Oh. And eventually, you're hanging there, and your lungs give out. And, you know, he said Jesus had to pull himself up periodically to get a breath. And then would slump back down, pull himself up, get a breath. Slump. And I'm like, damn. But, hey, the world was run different back then.
Sure.
And I'm glad we don't do it. However, I would love some sort of light asphyxiation or light crucifixion for whomever decided the fucking chain smokers as a halftime act was a good idea at the Final Four. Let's start with that, Andy.
Yeah.
Nobody asked for this. It went over like a fart in an elevator. Why?
These decisions are not made by sports fans. They're made by outside the box thinkers. Oh, let's draw in people who would not normally, you know, be watching. And it's like, gee, I'd like to watch some basketball. Let me see if I can find the Chainsmokers on TBS. Also, I didn't see it, but I've seen some pictures online of the guy who imitated James Naismith and was part
a comically overstuffed seven-person set. Yeah. Nobody can get off any decent point with six other mouths to feed. And then they throw in a James Naismith impersonator, of which the entire market and ecosystem for that has to be extremely tiny. He's got one website. Yeah, if you need somebody to impersonate the guy who invented basketball, I could come to your party. Well, do you want any tricks? Do you blow up any balloon animals? No, I don't do any of that. I just talk about, once I put a peach basket up onto the YMCA in Springfield.
Yeah, you know, Ernie Johnson doesn't seem like this type of guy, but it should be somebody like Ernie Johnson who would say, wait a minute, this is stupid. We're not doing this. I'm quarterbacking this set.
You would think.
You would three or four voices that I can go to.
Right.
I don't need to have these clown acts on either end of the bench there.
Yeah, but even Ernie Johnson, secure as he is, probably thought, why waste my personal capital to fight against this? Because he probably knew who was lined up and the agents involved and the agencies that were involved. And these producers are like, this would be a great idea. It's part of what I resent the most as an old man shaking my fist at the clouds is that nobody ever says good enough is good enough. And that's where you, Andy, you are the king of good enough. I have a lot of good enough in me, just not as much as you do. Like, it's good enough that once the first game is done and they do an on-court interview, they clean off everybody and they change out the benches, the next two teams are on and they're doing their layup lines. And they're getting ready. And we got 20 minutes on the scoreboard. And horn, tip, another game coming. That is good enough. But somewhere along the way, probably the television money said, well, we can make it a 30-minute intermission because we got some extra ads from Capital One we need to squeeze in. Okay, we could do that. Well, since we got 30 minutes and we're playing this in a football stadium, which is a whole nother rant from me, we could set up a little small band in the, you know, not on the court, but over in the end zone area where we're going to make the media members vacate their seats. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They told the media, you're going to have to leave. We got to set up for the Chainsmokers and we'll do a little concert. And won't people love it? No, people did not love it. They didn't ask for it. It was not needed. That the point of what we love, the basketball, is no longer enough for the jackasses that run everything. And it feels like this is something somebody tweeted. I never thought of it this way. It feels like in a lot of businesses where the consumer has become an irrelevant annoyance in the middle of the true transaction, that the true transaction is from the TV networks to the schools, Andy. And so therefore you and I and the other people who want to watch the game is like, fine. We are an annoyance to them, Andrew.
Yeah. they look at the Super Bowl and they go, more people are watching the halftime show than the actual game.
Right.
Well, that's because there's no other games on. Everybody's in the house. All the TVs are turned to the Super Bowl, and they draw in some people who haven't been watching the game. But that's not going to fly in the NCAA tournament.
No. And then there's the stadium aspect of it. So I had this legitimate question to a bunch of guys on various group threads. I said, so the people that buy the shitty seats that they know are shitty seats, that pay upwards of $400 for those super shitty, way far away from the court seats, do they buy them thinking, nah, it won't be that bad? Or do they buy them just because they're pot committed to being able to say, dude, I went to the Final Four to support good old Southwest Tech?
I've been to Final Fours. You've been to Final Fours also.
I've never been to the game at a Final Four.
I've been to both the event and the game,
and
it's kind of a Mardi Gras kind of thing. The fan bases kind of, you know, walk past each other. Like Bourbon Street was great when they had the Final Four. I was there '93, I think, for the Final Four. That was the Weber timeout game.
But I
think there's that, and it's, yeah, to say you're there. They've got those big screen TVs now, so you don't miss as much. But yeah, it's to say you were at the event. If you want to watch the game, like any game, you watch it on television.
It's just absurd is what it is. And of course, they're able to sell those tickets. And, you know, unlike other past setups, they put the court in the middle of the field this time. Normally, they kind of push it into the corner, and then they erect one side of kind of like a temporary grandstand. They just said, fuck it, it's in the middle, and good luck. And even if you're in a better section, it's so flat, and it angles so far away that your view is really, really bad. And then there's a television aspect of it that, you know, on TV, this is something that maybe camera nerds don't know, but I'll explain it to you. Why do Final Four TV broadcasts look different than others? It's because they have to shoot at a longer focal length. And when you shoot at longer focal lengths, the background gets enlarged optically by the nature of light, and everything gets kind of squished together. It's called compression in photography. Now, compression has a pleasing effect in photography, whether it's portraits or other kind of shots. But for trying to watch a game and see spacing, you ever notice why you can't really sense spacing in a Final Four game? Like, does he have room to dribble around this guy or go in the paint? It's because they have the cameras. They have to be so far back in a football stadium, it compresses the image. So it looks like shit. And then I'm still complaining. I know you're trying to get a word in edgewise, but I'm on a roll here, Andy.
Boy, I can't wait till you get to the prism sizes and all the other aspect ratios that you got. Piled up there.
Right, even though they're using Zeiss glass, Andy, which is the best glass in the world, Zeiss, you know, it's probably only a F4 aperture. So the other thing that really sucked, and, you know, my basketball hardo buddy Ron Thomas pointed it out right away. He goes, are these rims tight enough for you? And of course they were. They were a joke. They were not broken in because they bring in like brand new stanchions that have never been played on. The rims are super tight with the springs. You could hear it in the way shots hit. You could see with Illinois got the worst mojo voodoo of shots falling out when they should never fall out. Right. And the basketballs are brand new. They're brand new orange pumpkins. Probably have the stickers still on them. Not broken in. No natural wear. And that's reflected in the play of guards who are losing the ball left and right, where you go, why did he lose the dribble there? They're overinflated. They're brand new. The rims are tight. The arenas suck. Hallelujah, Andy. Holy shit, pass the title doll.
You know the last arena that was a basketball arena for the Final Four?
Why, that'd be the Brendan Byrne Arena in East Rutherford, New Jersey, 1997. Right. A Final
Six.
Four that, okay, 96. Final Four that I believe included Duke and Kentucky?
I think the final was, I think it was Arizona, or it may have been Syracuse and Kentucky. Kentucky won it, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, look it up. But that was the last one. Yeah, they Brendan Byrne Arena. Did you ever go to a game there?
I did not. You?
You could have a full house for like a Michael Jordan game.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded like a library. It was really? The worst. Yeah, big game kind of venue I can remember. But that was the last time they had a Final Four at a basketball arena. Yeah.
And let it be noted, both games sucked. The first game was kind of close. Illinois made a run once UConn separated, but then it was kind of choked out in the end. Illinois shot 23%, and then the night game was a complete blowout. By the way, Michigan shot 44%. That was the best percentage of all the teams. And, okay, it's the Final Four. They're going to let you get away with a little bit more fouling. It isn't a big arena, so you might not be as comfortable. Brand-new balls, tight rims. 44% is not very compelling. UConn shot 36%, Arizona 35%. But did you see how Dusty May made sure to take the guys out to the big house outdoors in Michigan to shoot a few buckets to get used to the wide open spaces?
Yeah, well, he had his team well prepared. Look, he took Florida International to the Final Four. This guy can coach.
Oh, yes, he can.
And they lost three games along the way during the season. But in the first couple of months of the year, they look like that team did on Saturday night. They look unbeatable right now. I mean, Connecticut may find a way to beat them, but they look just like they did at the beginning of the season. They're a juggernaut.
Yeah, Connecticut was solo ball is questionable for tonight with an injury. Yaxel Lundenborg is going to play despite being injured himself. He came in and hit some big threes once he was injured. Looked like a nasty injury along the way.
It's a psychological thing. The players go, well, we've practiced for this. We've gone to the football stadium. We're ready.
Okay. Maybe you should have brought out the Normandale 10-foot stick like in Hoosiers.
Yeah.
All right. Then there was the I want to talk about Hurley. Hurley's a great coach, make no mistake. And Hurley admits he's a bit much. Here's again why I can never be fully on board with him. Did you see him in the locker room after he just left the court as he's about to go greet the team saying, yeah, motherfuckers?
Yeah,
that's embarrassing. Yeah, like,
it is.
Don't act like a regular teenager. Be above it. Be quiet, cool. Be quiet, tough. Like, that just cheapens you, buddy.
Yeah,
I don't
know. He's to me, he's John McEnroe. You know, he and every time I've watched most of his news conferences on this run throughout the tournament, he's great at it. And he admits to his failures. I mean, he's a complicated guy, and he's still tortured by the fact that he was the biggest basketball underachiever in the family till he started winning championships.
Sure.
And that's sort of what drives him.
Now, have you seen his pistol of a wife who washes his underwear?
Yeah.
His lucky underwear.
He's wearing the same suit. He said
the lining. He's got
when he puts his arm in it, he's not sure whether he's putting it in the armhole or just a hole in the suit. And she, they met at Seton Hall. She's a Jersey girl. You can tell she's a Jersey girl.
Jersey girl through and through.
Here. She was on something where she was talking about her mother-in-law, who's also a Jersey girl, and they butt heads. You know, they're not Jewish, but I can relate to this kind of a culture for sure.
All right, here is a modest 6-person set, 5 hosts and Mrs. Hurley, on the side of the Final Four.
What's your day going to be like tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Okay, wait. Can I just tell you a little something that just happened last game? Okay, my husband wears, he got this bracelet back years and years ago in church, and they're holy beads. And you know, they're...
Anyway, suffice to say, she leaves the beads back at the hotel and has to go on a madcap adventure to go get his lucky beads. But man, what a pistol. What a good-looking, age-appropriate lady there.
No, he was a basketball star at Seton Hall. You know, he was doing all right then. He had hair.
I was a player, Jerry. Had hair. Oh, speaking of coaches and their significant others, did you see the Nate Oates story?
I know he's staying at Alabama. What else was there?
Nate Oates, recently divorced, admits that he is now dating one of the assistants in the basketball department.
Yeah.
And somebody pointed out, they're like, yeah, wasn't this like a huge thing with Bobby Petrino once upon a time? Like, yeah, why is this not being talked about enough?
Well, Petrino was still married. You're saying Oates is divorced.
Well, he is, but still, I mean, you're dipping it, you're dipping the candle wick in the company wax. Like,
okay, but why? Have work relationships all the time. Is there anything illegal about that?
It's not illegal. Well, you do have to disclose it to HR, that's for sure. I know you saw that episode of The Office. Probably not.
Maybe he did. I mean, he's not married. The Petrino one, he was married.
I know. That was different. He was married, and the young woman who was the athletic trainer was married as well.
Right.
But still,
it was an affair.
Yeah.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
All right, did you see the round table sort of brawl between Billis and Seth Greenberg and Seth Davis,
Calipari,
talking about NIL and Calipari as well? I know it probably tickled your innards thinking about how, way to go, Jay, you're getting the slaves their money. But what did you think of the whole exchange?
I mean, Calipari's got to look around and see that his brethren are adjusting and doing well with it.
So is he. He's doing well, too.
Okay. And several of them have said, hey, you know what? It's actually easier now. We used to court these kids for 3 years, and they'd say no. Now it's easy. What's the number?
Right.
That's it.
Rick Barnes says it's easier now. Just dial them up.
Dusty May echoed that. Other coaches have done it, too. So if this is a problem for Calipari, he can get out, but stop pining for the old days. The old days are gone.
His point and others' points, which Billis intentionally refuses to even admit because he's being intentionally obtuse on this, he's smart enough to know it is going to send more programs into the ether that are Olympic sport programs, women's programs as well, because the insatiable beast that is paying the football players and basketball players will never be ended as long as Congress does not give the NCAA an antitrust exemption. There's no stopping it. The NCAA, it's like they're getting the shit beat out of them, and there's two goons holding their hands behind their back, the federal courts. They can't do anything. And when Billis says, well, they're adults, you know, they're and I know that Greenberg said, well, they're not really adults. They're young men. Oh, yes, they are. They can be tried as in a jury trial by as adults. Whatever, dude. They're fucking kids. They're fuck-ups, these kids. A lot of them. Good-natured fuck-ups. Some of them are not good-natured, though. But they are 18, 19-year-old young men who are not full-grown adults. They ain't paying their own way to school. They ain't setting up their own shit. They're sort of adults. Anyone with an 18 or a 19-year-old knows this, Andy. But Billis wants to argue it like, well, they can be tried as an adult. They can drive. They can do this. Fuck, get out of here with that nonsense. It's a pro league, Billis. You won. Guess what? You know what I want? I want pro features. I want a salary cap. I want grades. I want a collective bargaining agreement. I want enforceable contracts. And Jay Billis is not ready for this conversation, Andy. I want a fucking entry draft. High school entry draft. Those are all pro league features since he wants a pro league.
But pro leagues operated for a long time. Baseball didn't have a draft until 1965.
Well, right.
Pro leagues operated without drafts before.
Right, but then they realized the optimal way to run a pro league is to have mechanized parity by way of reverse draft order for the worst teams. Well, so I want that in college, okay?
Well, it could get to that where there are like 40 teams.
Yeah, there'll be 60 teams. And everyone else can go pound sand. And Jay Billis doesn't give a fuck. And all these other athletes, 1% of actual athletes in football and basketball who matter, who are going to go pro, and anyone gives a shit about, they're the ones that you could argue should get paid somewhat. Everyone else is an intern. They're an intern. The business is built on 100 years of Alabama football. Or Michigan basketball, or whatever. That's the business. Understood. It's the stadiums. It's the traditions. It's the colors. It's the logos. Right. It's the alumni network. The 18-year-old kids running around bumping into each other, they're interchangeable. A new class comes every year. They're interns. They don't deserve shit, but we'll still give them a stipend and a college education worth $100,000. To do this, and it's still not good enough, and it's going to bankrupt the nice, benign communist system that existed that took money from those programs and funded women's softball and swimming and track and field. And Jay Billis doesn't give a shit about any of that.
First of all, there was a cotton and tobacco industry that ran very profitably in the South for many years without the workers getting paid. They were called slaves. So that got fixed.
That is your comeback.
Let me just say, you worried about these other sports.
You want to compare the NCAA men's basketball and football
being,
to picking cotton?
An industry that makes billions of dollars and pays his coaches $10, $15 million should be paying the athletes. You agree with that, right?
No. I think the old system was fine.
The system was great for you, and the athletes didn't get paid, and they tore up their knee, and they didn't get to go pro. Too bad. They fueled the system, right?
No. One guy tore up his knee and didn't go pro.
One guy. That's all.
Kenyon Martin broke his fucking leg a week before the tournament. Still went 1/1 and had a long NBA career, Andy. So try harder on that one.
Kenyon Martin makes up for everybody else. And the others you didn't hear of.
Hold on. Here's how I can prove that it was a good system. There was no shortage of kids lining up to take it. They were overjoyed to have a college scholarship. They were the first ones in their families to go to college. They knew the value of, wow, this costs $30,000 a year for the rich kids from the leafy suburbs. I'm doing it for free. Sign me up.
Yeah, understood, because that was the only place they could go. And if they and all of let me tell you something.
That proves it's a good deal. If they had a hard time recruiting guys to play D1 football and basketball, they would have run out of people to play the sports.
You know a lot of coaches as well as I do, and most of them will tell you, most of the guys we recruited thought they had a chance to go pro.
They all
do. And so that was the hook. And they went and they got their scholarship. They didn't get money. The coach was maybe getting $10, $12 million, could leave whenever he wanted to, just like they do now. And the athlete was stuck. And the athlete, if he wanted to transfer after the coach left, too bad, had to sit out a year. So the system has become... It swung too far the other way, I'll grant you that. I mean, we've got to have a system in place where they have contracts, and buyouts, and more commitments than they do now. But you don't want the athletes to get paid, and too bad. The horse is out of the barn on that.
No,
they're going to get paid.
Listen, I'd prefer them to not be paid because they don't deserve it. They're interns, 99% of them. But accepting that they are going to get paid, now we're a pro league. So I want a whole fucking pro league. I want contracts, a draft, trades, centralized commissioner, discipline powers, and on and on.
Could happen.
We'll see.
It's not out of the question.
It's tonight's game. Who do you like? Michigan or Michigan? Michigan's 7.5. MyBookie.com, the place to go to get your sweet, sweet action down. Make sure to use promo code ZABE to let them know that you have heard it from me. That's a big number, but... Yeah. With the possible injury and unavailability of Solo Ball. But then again, it's Dan Hurley in the magic underwear.
Shit, I might be tempted to take the number on this.
And I kind of like the idea of a team that was on the brink and found a way to win. So, I mean, if it gets to be a blowout and Michigan's up, you know, I like them to win. I don't think they're going to do what Duke did and fold up. But if it's a close game at the end, I like the toughness and that tenacity of Connecticut to win the game.
All right, let's pivot to something you and I can agree on, Andy, and that is the women's Final Four really sucks without Caitlin Clark as the main attraction. I don't know what the number is going to be. Tonight, Sunday night, UCLA demolished Dawn Staley in South Carolina. So both Dawn Staley and Gina Auriemma look less for their exchange on Friday night, and neither one of them are champions. I hate Gina Auriemma. I've hated Gina Auriemma well before this blow up. He was dumb and wrong for initiating it, but Dawn Staley is no saint, Andy.
Okay, but here's what he does. His team is losing. Mm-hmm. They can't hit a shot, mm-hmm. and he gets Holly Rowe over there, and he curses on national TV live, and he's whining about what Dawn Staley is getting away with saying to the refs.
Right.
This guy's been coaching for 40 years. He doesn't know how to work the refs. Oh, she's doing something wrong.
She gets to say words I can't say.
Yeah. So she's out coaching you. That's what she was, out coaching you in your game. Your players can't hit a shot. That could be coaching by you. Maybe you haven't said the right thing or whatever, made the right substitution.
Right.
So you're getting your ass beat by a woman who's been in the business a lot less time, but she's beating you and you can't handle it. And then apparently he did release an apology.
Did not include her name.
Right. And Rebecca Lobo said that they have spoken, and Dawn Staley said in the postgame news conference, no, they had not spoken.
Oh God.
So
listen, the shits I give about this cannot be detected by a nanoparticle microscope at this point.
But yeah,
I just thought I would bring it up. Also, by the way, Dawn Staley on the sideline in the championship game, not wearing a stitch of South Carolina gear. She's wearing her own high-end Gucci Balenciaga sweatshirt. Another thing that I'm like,
is that different than Danny Hurley wearing a sport coat without a Connecticut logo on?
Yes, it's different. Because Danny Hurley doesn't have a sport coat endorsement, but Dawn Staley does.
Well, I mean,
she's picking her own gear instead of the school's gear in school colors and logos. She's like, hey, look at this Balenciaga gear.
I'm not going to get worked up about that. I'm sorry.
You haven't gotten worked up about hardly anything since I've known you. Well, I'm sure your blood pressure numbers are wonderful and you're going to live to 104.
They're not that great, but no, it's okay.
Let me just check this. Does Dawn Staley have a deal with Balenciaga? I'm pretty sure I read that she did.
Okay, so what? I mean, that doesn't bother me.
Maybe she didn't have a deal or it's not publicized, but that jacket was $2,300.
Well, she makes a lot of money.
Why is your instinct to defend? Why can't you just
go? I don't know why you're attacking a woman for wearing clothing. And if it's a clothing deal, so what?
I'm calling balls and strikes on life, Andy. Reflectively, he's criticizing a woman.
Criticizing her for what? For what?
Criticize anybody for wearing a $2,400 pullover.
So it was much more palatable for you for the schlumpy UCLA woman wearing like something that she pulled out of the bookstore for $25?
No. Again, I don't give a shit. I know this. There was a player for, I forget which team it was, maybe at the Elite Eight, or maybe it was the first of the two games of the Final Four. She missed a wide-open layup and then instantly started crying. Yeah. And then someone had to console her. I had said that to the boys. I go, boy, this is women's basketball in a nutshell right here.
Also, by the way, Gino openly lied about the player Strong getting her jersey ripped.
Yeah, her play.
Strong not only ripped her own jersey,
she said
in the news conference
she
did it.
I know. Gino is the worst. I fucking hate him. He's a liar. He's a bully. He's a front runner. And he's also getting fat, which is something I think you and I can agree on. You are the king of the fat shamers, Andy.
Well, I'm not going to shame him for getting fat. He's 72 years old. Also, I would point out, and I got a lot of pushback on this on Twitter.
Oh, boy.
You know, okay. There's a time for you to go. John Wooden, the kindly old man of Westwood, was 64 years old when he left after winning his 10th championship.
Okay.
And if Gino, you know, in terms of legacy and all that, I don't know if he still likes the coach. He's still a good coach. He's still got teams that go with great records. They were undefeated this year. But if it's all about, you know, the sport and leaving behind this great, you know, view of yourself, get out. Leave now because you're losing to people that you belittle and it looks bad for you.
Yeah. So what was the whole Caitlin Clark, Juju Reese situation? Not Juju Reese, Angel Reese.
Angel Reese, I mean, brother.
Was it a moment in time, Andy? Is it gone now?
It can happen again. Like, it was the perfect storm.
Do you remember the amount of coverage that got?
It was another form of Bird and Magic. You had the white star and the black star, but they took it a step further with Friction, and it was perfect. And you know, they move on. You know, Bird and Magic left college basketball, went to the pros. And it hasn't really carried over to the pros the way that I think they hoped.
No, white girl from the cornfields of Iowa, black girl from the deep south. And it was
from D.C. I think Baltimore.
From D.C., but then she obviously
she's playing at LSU.
LSU. So anyway, it's Masters Week. Can we pivot to that?
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to excited being a 10, maximum excitement, how excited are you given that Tiger Woods last week, I think after I recorded my last episode, did finally check his ass into rehab? No, I think that was on Tuesday. Friday, they released the body cam footage of him getting arrested. There's a lot of people saying he didn't look as, you know, under the influence as the cops' police reports say. Some pretty bad images of him just zonking out in the cruiser in handcuffs with a blanket over his head. But no Tiger, no Phil for the first time in 33 years. Can I count on you, Andy, a non-golfer who still loves to watch the big events? Can I count on you to still watch this edition of the Masters?
I love the big events.
Okay, good. I'll miss have you.
This Tiger teeing off on Wednesday, right? Or Thursday, right? When's the ceremony?
Well, the ceremonial tee shot is Thursday morning, but Tiger's too young for that. We assume, now look, he's got to take this rehab seriously. Otherwise, he won't make it to the age of 70 and be the honorary starter. That's the bigger thing from when we last talked, Andy, is that we talked on Sunday of last week. He had not yet checked into rehab. And there is some question, like, what's the delay? And now that we've seen some of the body cam footage, he was seen asking the cops, can you at least get my clubs out of the back of the car? And he was talking with his agent about, hey, the weather's supposed to be good at Augusta next week, which implies that he was going to play. He also was seen on camera, on the body cam footage, saying, I just talked to the president. Total
deuce. Which is possible.
I don't doubt it. He's dating the president's daughter.
But what ex-daughter.
Ex-daughter. What a
ex-daughter.
What a douche move, though, by Tiger.
No.
I just get off the phone with the president. Yeah, great, dude. You flipped your fucking car for the fourth time.
I'm not going to defend it, but if you're Tiger Woods, do you really understand what a douche move is? Do you really have any sense of that, given what your life has been?
His whole life is basically a douche move.
Yeah.
All right. So the Masters is here. I'm excited for it, even without Phil, without Tiger. First time in 33 years for the two of them. Rory making his defense of his title, the Magical Championship last year that was so long in coming. There's two documentaries out about it, plus a YouTube documentary, not a documentary, but a YouTube video by the Masters themselves that has Rory talking for 54 minutes about every shot he hit.
Oh boy, that final must be compelling.
That must be that's for the super nerds.
For you nerds, and that must be.
And then on
that must be so good.
And then on Sunday, Andy, at noon before the coverage starts, they're airing a special called 1986, yet another homage to Nicklaus winning the Masters at 46 years old. This is the miracle on ice for golfers. They've done so many things about it over the years. I don't think there's any new assets that have been uncovered of angles of shots or anything of note. I think I've seen it all. But as I said
I'll just, you serve it up, I'll eat it, because that's wheelhouse.
There's the story that Jim Nance tells, that he's sober and he's getting in the golf cart, and Ken Venturi says to him, "Young man, you may do 500 Masters," or whatever he said, "from here. You will never see another day in golf like this."
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you and I got to meet the great Mr. Nicklaus and chatted with him, and he was wonderful.
I'm telling you, that is – oh, that's another thing. But the one of the things that came out from the arrest of Tiger was him showing money his money clip.
Which was a staple, like a giant Staples binder clip, two cents each.
Which was brought me to one of the greatest moments of my career. You asked the question about Jack winning a long drive contest in 1963?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yep.
And I see him fidgeting in his pocket. I'm thinking, oh, God, he wants to end the interview. We've been gone long enough. He pulls out the money clip that he won for the long drive contest and what you referenced.
Yeah.
He said, "I think this is meaningful to me. Still have it right here.
I know.
That was great.
It's good stuff. The tradition, the timelessness of it, it's awesome. The Masters is the antithesis of the Jack and Apes who run the NCAA, because while the NCAA gives us a lot of shit when nobody asked for and we don't want, like the chain smokers or games inside football stadiums, the Masters just knows what we want and it gives it to us. And it restrains itself from what would be an easy amount of greed in terms of corporate luxury boxes on the course itself, or gouging if you go there and buy something in the Masters Pro Shop. It's beautiful. May it never change.
Well, at one time, didn't they only give you 2 hours on Saturday and 2 hours on Sunday?
Not two, but they said basically the back nine. It was like 2.5 hours, I think, early on. It used to be a lot less. Now they're going to actually incorporate, I think, Amazon Prime or Netflix as additional coverage. Of course, their app, which is free, has all kinds of dedicated channels to it, and you can punch it up either on your iPhone or on your iPad or on your digital TV, like... it's all there. The one thing that bothers me, though, is that ESPN has been given the green light to send Jason Kelce to the Masters.
Right. Yep.
Boo!
I think they're ripe for an incident. Gary McCord, they don't mow these greens. They use bikini wax. Get out.
Right. No, but it's just McAfee was talking about the story on Friday, and he goes, "Yeah, you know, we asked our show, which is pretty popular, pretty important. We've asked them 3 years in a row. And they said, hell no, every time. They want no part of us down there." And I'm like, good, good. Thank God they have some standards. But as somebody on Twitter put out a meme, did you ever watch Mad Men, Andy? That was your wheelhouse growing up. Mad Men, the Mad Men era of...
I didn't watch the whole series.
Society in the 60s, with Don Draper, played wonderfully by...
John Hamm. Yeah.
It's Draper when he does his pitch and he says, "The Masters, but without football analysts." Oh, well, I'll still take it. Have I done enough fist shaking at the clouds?
Yes. Yeah, you're very angry about a lot of things that you're not going to be able to change. The players are going to get paid. You'll just have to deal with that.
You're right.
And Final Fours are going to be played in football stadiums. It's just the way it is.
And the chain smokers are going to play at halftime when nobody asked before. And I can't stop any of that. And so I should just let it go. But I think part of it is cathartic for me. And I will be willing to bet I'm going to get some responses saying, "Zabe, never change. I need you on this podcast. I need someone with sanity yelling at the idiots who are trying to ruin sports. I know it won't change things, but I need to hear your voice as a beacon sight of clarity out there in the wilderness." So I'll be happy to be that guy. I'm still watching. Look, if I didn't care, Andy, if I didn't still love sports, I'd be like, you know, whatever. Or I just wouldn't watch. I care enough to bitch. Does that make any sense?
Well, I mean, you don't want your obit to read Steve Zabin, who shook his fists at the changing sports world to no avail, passed away today of a heart attack at the age of .. Right?
As long as the age is high up enough, if it's 80 plus, I'd say, okay, I'll take that deal. I don't care how it goes. You know, I don't care what the obit says. If it's 80 plus, I'm like, I could probably sign that right now.
I watched Dan Patrick had Chris Russo on. They're similar age. Russo's a little bit younger than I am. Dan's a little bit older.
How old? And for those who want to know a number, 62.
I think Russo's 66, I think. And Dan is, I think, 70 or about to be 70. Yeah. So I'm right in the middle of them. And they were talking about checking out. And Dan's already got a date. His last show is going to be the Super Bowl week in Atlanta.
And I've already got a big bet saying he ain't going to take that date.
Well, we'll see. Russo has said he wouldn't be far behind him. I'm going to be about.
Also not true. These guys are well-liked. They have big followings. They have corporate backing. They have viable shows. And I've never seen somebody walk away from an existing paycheck that's big and relatively easy for something guys are good at in media. Haven't seen it.
Yeah, no. I've looked. Tony's 77. He's signed up to do PTI till he's 80. I understand But they also said this. This is what the larger point I'm getting to. Becoming a casual sports fan. When you get out of this, can you get yourself to the point where, game's on, I'm not sure I'm going to watch it, right?
Because you don't have to. It's optional. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't really have to now, but it's more like, you know, there's sort of a professional obligation to watch it. Once that goes away, what's your life going to be like?
Yeah. All right. Ending on this, Andy, the Buffalo Sabres have broken a 14-year playoff drought by qualifying for the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm happy for them. I know the good people of upstate New York and some in Canada as well who are Sabres fans from across the border are happy that they're back in. That now leaves the New York Jets as on the clock for the longest run without the playoffs, 15 years.
Wow.
Do you know who's number two now that the Sabres are off the schneid? The LA Angels of Anaheim at 11 years. Then the Pittsburgh Pirates, 10 years. Charlotte Hornets, 9. And the Red Wings, the mighty Red Wings, 9 years.
No.
And they're
good luck to them.
And they're making the playoffs easier and easier to make with bigger playoffs, including play-in tournaments in the NBA, Andy.
And on top of that, most of those teams you're talking about spend money. They're just doing it stupidly.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, Andy, always good to talk to you, my friend. Thank you for listening to me vent and gripe and having a wonderful civil disagreement when you and I weren't totally aligned. That's the mark of maturity and friendship, and I value it greatly. And right now, you are listening to the Chainsmokers on the way out of today's show, because we just figured, look, if it's good enough for the Final Four, it's good enough for this show. So enjoy, everybody. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend, rate and review, and we will see you next time.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.